You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, the show's about to start. I just need to ask you a massive favor. Please go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. It would be tremendous. Does Christian know I'm doing an ad before the show starts? Absolutely not. Is he going to be upset about it? Oh, yeah. But he won't be upset if he sees a bunch of followers on our Twitch account. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans and hit that follow button. And I'm going to start playing the show now. And I bet you right when the show starts is when Christian texts me.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but you've got nothing better to do. So watch with Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link.
That'll do. Perfect.
Yeah, baby! Fourth of July.
America, let's go. America, LFG, yeah.
Great movie.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to an audio exclusive, non-television episode of the Cooligans podcast.
That's right. We ain't breaking for no commercials, my G.
Okay. Straight through. We ain't stopping for nobody. Okay. I don't care how many plumbing companies want to advertise.
That's right. I don't care what that pill could do for my sex life. We ain't want to hear about it right now.
Okay. I promise you, I will stay flaccid throughout this whole thing.
I can't promise that. But nonetheless, thank you, Christian, for being the one to really, really care about this whole thing.
Okay. I'm just making it very clear. My genitals don't work.
They've been kicked too many times because that's what I'm into. Why are you judging me? You can clearly see that there's no directors or producers in our ear if this is already where we've gotten.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that has ever existed, as you can see from the beginning of the show.
And it also happens to be the most flaccid. I mean, the gulliest.
Okay, no, nobody out here is more flaccid than we are.
Nah, son. We practically got 80s up in this joint.
All right. And I'm just quoting my doctor, all right?
Supposedly it's normal.
You know what? And I appreciate him for making me feel better about it.
I hold him back the laughter until I close the door. But not long enough for me to walk away and not hear it, okay?
You know, that's... But I, you know, it's part of the Hippocratic Oath, I think.
They got HIPAA laws they gotta follow. Even though I heard him texting and the lady at the front was like, oh, it's you, I mean...
Well, strong start.
What a movie we just wrote.
But we are excited about today's show. It is there's no guest today. We're just doing a deep dive into Major League Soccer, NWSL. We're going to just kind of focus on, you know, we often on the television show, we're limited with time. So we don't get to really talk about a lot of subjects and things are going on.
Also, because we have all these stupid guests. We have all these celebrities and important people.
All these damn superstars coming through. They're like, you know, taking up our time.
That's not what the Cooligans is about. It's about making dick jokes.
Really, the guests get in the way of the dick jokes, right?
And so many times I've been trying to tell people, we need to get rid of these guests.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to focus on a lot of things that, look, the MLS season, the NWSL season, both have been, you know, pretty wild these last couple weeks. So let's, okay, let's start with some of the bigger stories.
Let's just start by saying there's no Euros today. Mm-hmm. There's no Copa.
There is Copa America.
Copa America. Oh, there is?
Yes. This is.
I thought I was going to get a break. I was going to say there's no NBA Finals. Everybody relax.
Right.
Today, but nope.
As when we're recording this, Brazil is playing Peru later tonight. So that's the only big, you know, match outside of, if you're paying attention to, you know, China Super League Group B, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But that, no fault if that
Which brings me to our next segment. What's going on in China Group B?
So let's start with some of the big stories recently in Major League Soccer. Obviously, let's start with Toronto. Chris Armas relieved of his duties out in really Orlando, which is where they're playing, or Tampa.
Right.
Tampa.
My guy didn't even get to go to Canada. How you work for Toronto FC and not even get to go to Canada?
They didn't even let him in. He couldn't even see his office. That's how
he's Puerto Rican and Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what? You're getting a job in Toronto, but yeah, I bet you'd feel more comfortable in Orlando, you know? And then they were like, you know what? Why don't you just stay here? Because you ain't coming back to Canada with us.
So relieved, fired, sacked, whatever they say in Canada.
What's the Dominican for getting fired?
Pa fuera.
Pa fuera. Bam, 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 bam. You're like, I got fired, but it was lit.
Yeah. It was definitely. They did a light show. There was confetti. It wasn't yeah, that bad. Yeah.
Hookah. There was hookah there.
Why are you bringing in these strobe lights to this meeting?
Ozuna's here.
Man, you blew him in and everything. Not even a Zoom call. This is pretty impressive. So he is let go after 11 matches. So look,
rightfully so, by the way, they are in the last of last place.
Yeah, they are not doing well. They are also
Josie is like holding out.
Yeah.
He says, nah, fam, it's either me or him for 11 games.
Yeah. And I guess we found out who was right. Josie Altidore, that's been a couple weeks ago. Josie Altidore has just been left off the team. They're saying he's training on his own, that wants nothing. I don't know. I assume they're trying to move him right now. I think now that Armas is gone, maybe Josie comes back.
Yeah, I feel like this is Josie comes back now.
Yeah, well, so we'll see.
It was I can't do this with this guy.
Yeah.
So he goes to train on his own.
I can't understand exactly, you know, from all accounts, everybody, not to say that Chris Armas is a mastermind at the game, but from even at his time at Red Bull, people speak highly of him. Nobody is like saying he's
I think they speak highly of him as an assistant, not as a head coach.
Maybe. But this is for it to only last 11 games. Says a lot about this. I think there's a lot of factors. I think the fact that Toronto hasn't been able to play any home matches
about 2 years.
Yeah. So it is not an easy job to begin with. But then you also think about Vancouver and Montreal. And I would say last year, I think that, you know, it was really bad, especially for Montreal. It's still kind of bad for Vancouver. They're not dominating by any means. They're in last place in the Western Conference. But
better record than Toronto.
But Montreal kind of adapted and kind of figured it out. They're in eighth place right now.
They're just below the playoff line.
But they have looked pretty good. I mean, they have 16 points, and they're tied with sixth and seventh place. You know, one more win, and they're in third, hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
So Toronto definitely has an excuse of why they've been so bad, but there's clearly more things wrong with whatever.
Not with this roster. I mean, Vancouver's roster is wildly different from Toronto's roster. They don't have this excuse.
Toronto, I think they have the highest payroll in the league, but who are they paying? They're paying older players like Josie, Michael Bradley.
Highest payroll on paper, Miami. You know what I mean? I feel you, Miami.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. We ain't got no pens in this office. We can't write any of these numbers down. What are you talking about?
Why you want to check my Venmo for, Garber?
Have you seen me? Because of everything going on, they changed the privacy policy at Venmo, and now you can't see other people's friends. Remember, you were able to track down whose Venmo account was whose based on who you were friends with, because you couldn't make your friends list private. This is how like a lot of politicians got caught funneling money around. So just so people know what's going on. You can do
so. Senator, you are friends with Sweet Princess 69.
Interesting. Mm.
And you've sent this person how much?
Okay. So, yes. So, yeah. The I don't know why I brought up the Venmo thing. Anyway, but Toronto. Armas is gone. They kept the rest of the coaching staff. Only Armas has left. There is
which gotta suck, because when you're coached, it's like that's your people's.
Yeah.
This is like, I bring my cabinet with me. And like, well, we are keeping your cabinet. Your vice president stays with us, but you gone.
So, look, I think, you know, if I think the fact that, you know, taking Josie off of the team, I think that is what really affected the morale. Look, Toronto just lost.
I don't
lost.
Know if it was that. I think that's a symptom of the issue.
But look, Toronto just lost 7-1 against DC United, who has really not been a dominant team this season. You don't lose 7-1 to DC United, like, with all due respect to DC United. But people were saying, like, this team quit. The team quit on Chris Armas. And I think when one of your, you know, your brothers is completely removed from the team, as a Toronto player, you're like, yo, what the hell's going on here? He's our DP. He's one of our best players. Why would he be disrespected like that? And I think that's how the players received it. And I think that's what they showed on the pitch, where they were like, I don't think we could play for this guy anymore. Chris Armas brought in, I think they were saying this early on in the season, like he brought in like the Red Bull high press system. And the players were like, yo, this ain't it. We ain't doing this. And and those early, all the results kind of showed that the system he was trying to bring in was not working for Toronto.
It does take a change of players. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't walk into the kitchen of a Malaysian restaurant and say, all right, I'm going to make Cuban food. Mm. They're like, okay. You don't have those ingredients, you know, like you may need to take a step back. That's essentially what he tried to do. And I want to read this is on Dylan Butler wrote this for MLS Soccer. Great article about essentially what happened. But this is Manning. This is Toronto's president, Toronto FC's president. He was speaking to the media and he said, the way we have been losing, especially since returning from the 3-week break, has been difficult to watch. And when you see a team concede like we did yesterday, meaning the 7-1 loss, we just saw no way back outside of making the coaching change. And then one of the things I just want to say, after the latest defeat, Armas had addressed the media saying, quote, something has to give for Toronto to break out of their malaise. And this is what Dylan wrote. Ultimately, he became that change, which is cold.
Yeah, a little bit of, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah,
well, damn, you were serious about this, huh? You got yourself fired.
Yeah, so it was an embarrassing loss to DC United. But silver lining, guess who gets the first goal in that game and first ever career goal?
Kevin, is it our son?
Is it our son, Dominicano?
Okay.
Kevin Paredes.
Okay. Kevin El Alfa Paredes.
Let's go. Gets his first goal. I forgot who delivered the cross in that game, but got on.
You know it's Dominican because his goal also had a cross in it. It was more Dominican than a cross.
I want to say it was Areola that delivered the cross, but I could be wrong. But got on the end of it, left foot, roof of the net.
And he celebrated. And this pisses me off. I put this on Twitter. What is it with, and I know this is happening in other leagues, but it seems to be an epidemic with MLS directing of games. Why you pull the camera away? It's an NFL move to show the stadium after a touchdown. You know, people going crazy. We can hear them. We don't need to see all that. We want to see the goal celebration.
Yeah, and he hit him. He did a, once we finally saw the footage, he did a nice little whoa kind of move.
He hit him with the whoa.
Yeah, a lot of energy. If you go to DC United's Instagram.
I think it was that thing of like, remember when Christian Pulisic scored his first goal for Dortmund? He hit him with the dab. And he was like, I don't even know what I was doing, dude. He's like, I had so much energy going through me. I just needed to do something. I think that's what this was, because this dance is about like 2 years old now, maybe three. You know what I mean?
If you've been on TikTok in the last 15 minutes, you know to not do this anymore, right?
No, this ain't it. I mean, you hit on with, I'm a savage. You do something, but this ain't, this is like, This is like a little viejito.
It's might as well, you know, Kevin Paredes might as well be a 45-year-old trying to, you know, 45-year-old dad trying to connect with his teenage kids, right? You know?
Just got custody of his kids. Damn, Paredes, what you doing?
I'm cooler than your mom, right?
Right? What dance is this? Because it hurts.
So, yeah, oh, I just see the assist was from Andy Nahar. And then the secondary.
Okay, the Latino to Latino connection.
And then the secondary assist was from Julian Gressel. So you love to see that as well.
Let's go.
So look, this was a big win for DC United, especially after the loss that their previous game to NYCFC. And we haven't gotten a chance to talk about the goal from Thiago Andrade. I know how to say his name, and I'm gonna say
I went to the Ironman ones.
I'm gonna say it 9,000 times so everybody knows. Okay,
I want them to know that I know. So, okay,
yeah, Joe, if you know, Joe Tolleson is the NYCFC announcer for Yes Network for the
great at his job.
Amazing. We're just teasing him. Yeah. He's a homie. But it was, you know, a lot of times, like, because there were a lot of calls for this game. Glenn Crooks was doing the English radio broadcast. Roberto Abramovich was doing the Spanish-speaking. And no one said Thiago's full name as many times as Joe Tolleson.
It was almost as if it was written across his back the whole way. But it's spelled Andrade, but the Portuguese language that they speak in Brazil, especially in his accent, you don't really finish the whole thing. And it kind of blends into this Andrade.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's like that. But when you're Joe Tolleson and you're hitting it loud, boom, it's boom. Andrade.
So fun. Also, that's also Richarlison's last name. A lot of people may not know that. Richarlison Andrade. Okay, anyway. But no, what an incredible goal from Thiago. This was
He scored two in the last two matches. So it's like, you better keep scoring every match, homie.
Yeah.
Keep this shit going. But it was literally like the last kick of the game.
Yeah, this was a, look, to tie it up, you know, NYCFC, you could tell really the opening game of the season was against DC United. And you could tell that they wanted revenge for that loss. It was, I believe, a 2-1 loss or 1-0 loss. Clearly one of it. Then the tying goal from Keaton Parks, which his first goal of the season. And for Keaton Parks to get we've met Keaton Parks. Keaton Parks is five?
Yeah, yeah. Very tall.
Tall dude.
Slender. But strong, though.
You would expect him to get on the end of a couple, get headers on a couple set pieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it looks like Dirk Nowitzki showed up to a soccer game. He's a big dude.
But he doesn't really get many headers per game. It's usually Alex Collins or Maxime Cheneau that are usually getting on the end of crosses. So it was great to see him get a headed goal from a corner. The game, NYCFC played well enough that, you know, the game shouldn't have gone that long without them having tied it. But for him to get that goal, I think was huge for him to get it in that fashion was great. And then, but that last goal from Thiago, some people are calling it one of the best goals in NYCFC history. It's a short history, but definitely
it feels like it.
It definitely had the drama and flair that we're not really used to seeing, especially late in a game. To get 3 points, definitely it's there. I would, you know, there obviously been a lot of Frank Lampard scored some important goals. David Villa scored some important goals.
You brought up the connection. It sort of felt the same, or at least in the same vein as the U.S. men's national team goal against Algeria, Landon Donovan goal, because that goal starts with a throw of sort of a save and then a throwing the ball directly to a sprinting midfielder.
Yeah.
In this case, Andrade took it all the way himself. He was like, I got this.
Yeah.
Because he does have like a sixth gear. Like he has like this extra gear. And then he chops the ball behind him, comes around and just.
And you could see.
And at that moment, you knew like unless he mishits this, there's no chance this is missing.
Yeah, it's a great play. And if you've seen the video in slow motion, you could see Donovan Pines really. If you see his face, because he does that move of like, let me pretend to like to make this tackle, so I make the player with the ball. I'm going to make Thiago like second guess, and he's going to slow down because he thinks I'm going to come in with tackle. And Thiago was like, no, this is when I'm turning on the afterburners. yeah. And you can see the moment where he fakes like he's about to make the tackle. And you see his face when Thiago hits the ball ahead of him. And he's like, bruh, what?
He was like, well, that wasn't what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, I didn't know this dude was this fast. You know what time it is in this game? I'm tired. And to his credit, he kind of does catch up to him when Thiago kind of slows down when he's getting.
He actually does a good job, like of essentially trying to cut him off the best you possibly can at that point.
Yeah, and that chop was great. But then great goal, great shot, and everything. But there's a clear moment of seeing Maxi Morales wide open to the left, and he's just like. Literally had arms that we talked about this. Argentinians, when they want the ball, they point to their feet and they point to the ground.
They kind of open palm, both hands, shoulders pressed up.
Yes.
Point down, like right here.
He's doing it. He's like, yo, give it to me right here. I'm about
Which, by the way, would have made an incredible passing goal.
Of course. I'm watching this live. It was so entertaining that I didn't even see Maxi there. So I understand. Even as, like, I could have had an aerial camera and I would have just had my eyes on Thiago. I wouldn't have 100%. Seen anyone to pass it to.
Third replays, you're like, oh, Maxi was there.
Oh, my God. How'd I miss that? This many times.
Completely wide open. Just like the defenders. I missed them.
But no. So after the heartbreak that NYCFC had against Columbus, where Lucas Zelarayan just broke their hearts in towards the end of the game. This was, I think, a good bounce back from a devastating loss from a couple weeks prior. So DC United got on the end of that. You know, it those heartbreak losses at the end of games get everybody, and DC United was on the end of it this time, but they bounced back clearly after that.
They got to play Toronto after that.
Yeah.
So
the other thing,
things tend to work out well.
Next up, I want to talk about Columbus Crew. They got their new stadium. Wow, another new stadium. It's getting harder and harder every week to see all these new stadiums and NYCFC not get one. But you know, we have a community board meeting coming up in September after it's been delayed.
Come on, community board meeting.
Community board meeting.
There's only one community board meeting.
So, I guess some more NYCFC news. That's as far as the stadium goes. That's the latest news. There's a parking lot that needs to be moved and it needs to be sorted out. And that is what this community board meeting is about. It's related to the Yankees and Mad Equities, which is the construction, I guess, firm or whatever involved in with the stadium.
It's the number one private equity firm in the Bronx. What up? You know, we got Mad Equity, son.
That's literally its name, but you know what? So it's perfectly fitting. So,
I think it stands for Madison, as in Madison Ave.
So they are, there was supposed to be a vote about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, on what to determine what would happen with these parking lots. Then the Yankees said, no, we need to renegotiate some deal that was like some terms that needed to change. And that, because of that, there is a holiday break for 2 months that now we have to wait till September to make that decision about these parking lots. And then after that, maybe the stadium stuff can move forward. So that's where we're at anyway. So Columbus, new stadium, downtown. They played against the Revs.
It looks gorgeous, man.
Lovely stadium.
Jordan Angeli, who is one of their announcers, mm-hmm. I guess she does, I believe, sideline, or she may call
the
game.
No, she calls the game, yeah.
She calls the game. She's absolutely great, by the way. But she did like a sort of like a Instagram story of like the locker rooms. Mm. And just everything looks dope. It looks like we're like superheroes go get changed.
Right.
You know, like it's like really
Justice
cool.
Justice League is about to, you know.
Yeah. Toronto's like, who are we playing? Man, we ain't never going to win. But they did an incredible job with the inside and the outside of the stadium.
Okay, so there's a couple things that people, they were getting already some heat for. like criticism on Twitter or whatever.
The water leaking.
But interestingly enough, the water leaking led to the Columbus Cruise support in the Nordic. They didn't put up their TIFO because they were worried that something, the weight of it would cause some damage or something like that. So they had no TIFO. So that's a bummer. It would have been nice to see the TIFO maybe for next game. So hopefully they sort out.
Especially, I feel like a lot of this is a reaction to Austin with their new stadium. Mm-hmm. And they got a lot of credit for their TIFO. Their TIFO was beautiful with all the musicians and stuff it. A bunch of people I never heard of were there. I think one of them was Willie Nelson. I guess he's from Austin.
Yes, yes. You've heard of him, obviously.
I have heard of him.
Yeah.
I've never heard a song of his, but I know he smokes a lot of weed. That's like the joke I've been hearing since I was a child.
Yeah. And there's no way you haven't heard a song of his because they're too popular. But go ahead. Keep going.
I can guarantee. Well, at the very least, I wouldn't know it was a Willie Nelson song.
Sure.
But I know Snoop likes him.
I wonder why.
There's always that. I feel the extracurricular activities might be it. They both go to the same lung doctor. So I think a lot of stuff that's happening with Columbus is not an attempt, but like another way of being like, we're gonna hinder the excitement of the Austin.
It's like a little hate. It's a bit hate.
It's like a little pettiness in a good way because I like it.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think Columbus fans do it to Austin, and I think back and forth. And this is why, you know, they played each other to a 0-0 draw, but there was, you know, that feeling of like just the banter. And that's
it was a little tense. Yeah, there was a little tension.
And that's fine. I love it. So,
but I do like it because all of it does have that feeling of like, well, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you want. There's no one knifing each other. You know what I mean? Like, this is good fun.
So, but to see a full, you know, crew stadium, I mean, the Matt Frey had its culture and had its, you know, distinct appeal, but it was an old ass stadium and it was pretty simple.
It was also the first, soccer-specific stadium.
But to see, you know, a lot of people, they weren't selling out games for a long time. And to see this stadium full and in Columbus, they saved the crew. They almost saved the logo. But the fact that they, just to see it full like that was great. So now they've added a couple new things that are trying to have a new culture. You know, Timbers have Timber Joey. They had Timber Jim, all right? But the Columbus Crew have...
Which started organically, right? They would cut the piece of wood every goal.
And that,
some people think it's stupid until you see it, and then you're like, actually, that's kind of fire.
It's pretty dope, especially when you're there live and you hear the chainsaw. Like, this, it is genuinely really, really cool.
And, you know, I think it was Philly that did... It was either Philly or New England who would cut a piece of, like, a 6-foot sub. Remember they did that as like a joke?
Okay.
Yeah, they had the electric knife.
Yeah.
You know, like the one you cut like a turkey with. You know? And he was like, he would go down and cut the sub.
So having fun with it. But then, so Columbus, they're doing the jackhammer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have someone, they have a fan, or I don't know if it's a licensed operator with it, and they have the jackhammer and they break a brick and then they hold the brick up.
It's like a piece of concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. It's like, it's fine. I think it's one of those things, the first time you see it, you're like, oh, this feels, it's not like, I wouldn't go as far as to say like cringe, which is like an annoying word that people always use to describe anything that makes it mildly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But this was, it feels a little.
Forced?
No, not forced. It feels like, I don't want to say forced or silly. It's like goofy. I guess it does.
Yeah, but goofy in New York is worse than cringe. You goofy. What is that?
It's like cute. I mean, that's quite a. It doesn't have the same like Timbers cutting a log. You know, it happens too quickly. Like jackhammers are too efficient. You know what I mean? Like it just happens. And it's like, rah, 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 and then it's like done. That's kind of the issue. Okay.
Yeah, they should fix a pothole in the city for every goal. That would be pretty great.
Maybe if they use like a sledgehammer and a stake, you know, to require like a crazy amount of force to break the brick.
I think it's called a chisel, but you went with a sledgehammer and a stake.
I mean,
kill a vampire, dude, every time.
A long ass nail. Yeah,
what about one of them heavy nails and one of them big head bopping hammers? You got one of them, Joy? I think it's, I agree with you. It does happen a little fast. And it's a little, there's something almost cartoonish about the way they do it.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone, like even the jackhammer is like adorned with Columbus Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like merch. You can buy you a jackhammer at the team store.
Just get a new jackhammer, put it in your car. It's only $1,200. Come get one.
Hey, if you got a season ticket card, it's 10% off. So it's a pretty good deal.
Okay, let the kids use it. Fun for the kids. Yeah, fun for the whole family.
We've got children's jackhammers. Don't act like we don't. It is. There's a lot of it that feels, I think the word forced feels right when you first see it, mm-hmm. but I think you would say the same thing about Tim or Joey. So if you would have seen that the first time, you'd be like, all right, we get it. There's trees out here. Can we please?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something about this where it seems like I want a piece. I want a piece of those things. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like when we hung out with our dude, Igor, we were like, hey man, have you ever seen one of those? And he's like, there's one right there. And we were like, ah, like, you know, like a piece of wood.
Yeah,
that's
all
it was. But we were like in awe of it because culturally it means something to the team now. And I feel like this will too.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before everything feels like this is how we've always done it. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you got to start somewhere. And
for NYCFC, we should have a pie. And every time somebody scores, you slice a slice off of it.
All right.
Right?
Okay. Who's this designated pizza cutter? What?
I guess if it's got to be me, it's got to be me. You know, I came up with the genius idea. And, you know, does anyone else know how to use a pizza slicer? Yeah.
You got to be licensed, okay?
Yeah.
You can't just have anybody come in.
Who's that guy with the jackhammer?
No, you're mixing the wrong things. You don't need a chainsaw. You don't need a chainsaw for this, all right?
Pizza Joey, get off of that pole, buddy.
I mean, Pizza Joey also fits absolutely perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple other things in Major League Soccer. Jesse Fiorinelli, GM for the San Jose Earthquakes, has been also let go. This has been
where did he come from? He came from like Inter Milan or something, right?
That's a good question. I don't know. I know he has like he has an accent. He came from somewhere in Europe. I've seen a couple of interviews with him. A lot of people saying that this is a long overdue thing. San Jose has not looked great this season. You know, I saw them in Austin it was 0-0. Outside of Brad Stuver. Also, shouts to Brad Stuver. I just want to highlight this man because Austin, we talked about it a little bit before. Austin, they have, you know, defensively, they're not the most solid team. They're not giving up a ton of goals, but they're not giving up they give up shots. And Brad Stuver had since the last time we spoke about him, since the last time I was there, they had one loss to I believe Minnesota, but the dude has to work. He's
killing it,
though. You know, he was like the Columbus Crew backup. He was an NYCFC backup, and he is really making the most of this opportunity.
I can't stress how good of a dude he is.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Cares about the community, does a bunch of stuff for the community, you know, really is about, like, inclusion and diversity. I mean, the guy, him and his wife are just absolute wonderful people.
And you love seeing the every time he touches the ball, at Q2 Stadium, everybody goes Stu. You just hear Stu over and over. So he's creating his own legend out there. But the San Jose, when I was watching them, they just like don't have many ideas. Since the team, obviously they lost Danny Huzin to Austin in the expansion draft. There aren't many, they're just not really scoring many goals. How many goals have they scored this season? By the way,
Fiorinelli, what's his name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fiorinelli was the director of football and sporting director of AS Roma.
Right.
Okay. So Roma to Earthquakes and then fired.
So let me just point this out. They have San Jose has scored 14 goals and given up 22. They are second worst in MLS first worst is Toronto FC.
So you, Toronto.
you don't want to be in that, you don't want to be spoken about in the same breath as Toronto right now. But this is, look, I also think Fiorinelli gone, but we got to speak on it because Matias Almeida does not have that long a leash. He is, we talked about this like a year ago, 2 years ago, the man marking system and how. You were you a fan of it? I think you were, right? Or are you saying...
I like people doing something crazy, but I did not think it would work.
This is not working. I mean, I think that's safe to say. I think, or at the very least, they have figured out Pelado and his system. Because San Jose, when I was watching them in Austin, in those last few minutes, they were having a tough time. It is difficult in playing in these humid conditions sometimes. And man marking and running around and after like the 70th minute, it gets a little bit tougher. If your subs can't keep up or they're not keeping up with the flow of the game or whatever, it can be bad. But to give up 22 goals and to have this defensive philosophy, I mean, I think we have to try something new. No, I mean these results show it, and you're also seeing I believe. If I'm not mistaken, does Atlanta play the same system? I think Gabriel Hante plays a similar system with this man marking, and Atlanta players have also...
Don't they play individual zones?
I don't know. I could be... please correct me if I'm wrong, anybody listening, but I think Atlanta also has not looked great this season. I mean, they just played NYCFC, and Atlanta looked slow. They looked...
Yeah.
Like they were, honestly, with all due respect, they look like NYCFC looked like they were playing a USL team. That's how bad it looked.
Yeah. Neither club, I don't think, is having a great time. But if you're San Jose, you're like, what do you have? If you're Atlanta, you've got some, from what we've heard, they've got a pretty good, academy. Like there's a couple kids that are ready to come up.
Mm-hmm.
They have some pretty good players and they have an incredible fan base, right? A very large fan base that wants them to win. If you're San Jose, you have a fan base that's like, please win. You know, like it's been a long time.
Well, I don't want Wando to struggle another year. Yeah. I don't want to let him leave, just absolutely miserable.
I mean, it sucks because you get someone like Pelado and you're like, oh my God, we went and got this incredible coach that just was in Mexico. That was coaching in the Mexican league, had won at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this is that. And we do hold Liga MX to a higher standard than we do hold MLS, at least in the past. So all signs point to this guy being an upgrade. Oh, yeah. The team is starting to spend money. We're starting to do it. And it's like nothing happens.
Look, five matches, let's say, they draw 2-2 against Minnesota, which I want to talk about Minnesota in a second. But 3-1 loss to San Jose, 5-0 loss. I'm sorry, 3-1 loss to Galaxy, 5-0 loss to Orlando, 0-0 against San Jose, and a 1-0 even further, 1-0 loss to Galaxy again, 3-1 loss to Kansas City. They haven't won in forever. I mean, what's the last win they had?
DC United, 4-1.
No, against RSL.
May 1st.
May 7th was...
Oh, yeah, they won the next match after that, May 7th.
So, Pelado, they made the change with Fiorinelli. I think they want to change the caliber of players that they're going to try to bring in and stuff like that.
That tells me that Pelado's going to get fired soon because they didn't want Fiorinelli there to think... He had an opportunity to make that change. Be like, oh, I got an idea for the next guy. Like, don't even make a phone call. I don't know if you noticed, we cut the line. You're next.
I think the if we're going to, we'll see what these next few months are like, or regardless of how long Pelado has. But I think he needs better players. And Fiorinelli was probably getting in the way of that, or maybe didn't have the same ideas for what players to bring in, or maybe he didn't know how to bring in some of the players and really convince them to sign with San Jose. Because we've seen when San Jose plays well, we saw them in the MLS's back tournament. When they play well, they're great and they're entertaining to watch. But they're leaking goals. They're giving up way too many goals. So they have to sort out whether they need a new center back, just a stronger caliber, just defense, a defensive mid. they need to do something because they're just giving up way too many goals for Pelado to keep his job. Let's be serious. The thing I want to talk about with Minnesota, I believe it was Hassani Dotson, if I'm not mistaken, who proposed.
Didn't he just propose? Yeah, he proposed to his girl.
He proposed to his girl.
She said yes.
But then
he went out and lost in her honor.
No, they. But so this was the funny thing is obviously I believe this has to be after the game. I'm assuming, but yeah, it was after the game. But did they give up an own goal towards the end? I think it was something really bad. Like it's just a 2-2 draw. Just like the energy is not. I say wait to propose after you get the 3 points, right?
Right.
I
mean,
it feels like not the right moment.
Yeah, but then he'd never get engaged.
Was it an own goal? Who was it? I want to see the. What was it? It was a late goal. Where is it? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I mean, look, it's just rough. That's a rough way to propose.
Yeah.
Be like, yo, you saw how bad I am at this, right? But I'm going to be a better husband.
Oh, man. So that was, lovely to see. Best of luck to Hassani Dotson and Petra. That is her name, Petra, which reminds me of Petra. Remember Petra, the reggae singer?
The reggae artist.
Yeah, pull up to
I want a romantic call.
I'll pull up to my bumper, baby.
Yeah. Nothing taught young Christian Alexis how to be lovers more than a woman who was really about it. You know what I mean?
That was the birds and the bees right there.
Quick joke about she had a song called I Want a Romantic Call. But, you know, the thing about patois is like the cadence is sometimes for syllables are different. So you never know where the one word ends and the other one begins. So she would say, I want a romantic call. I'm talking to my baby down at the yard. Right. Mm-hmm. My sister thought the word she was like, I can't believe they're letting this song on the radio. And I said, why? And she goes, because it's very dirty. I said, I mean, it's just, I want a romantic call. I want a romantic call. She goes, no, it's I want to roll my dick hard.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, well, none of these things fit. She's wearing very scantily clad clothing, so we know she doesn't have one. So why would she be saying that? And also, what do you mean? What is rolling your dick hard? And she assumed it was like, you know, rolling it up like sushi while it's hard. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Wow. It is. It's really amazing what like our young brains are capable of imagining, you know?
Yeah. What the hell are you talking about?
It's like, what is adult going to be like? I got to roll what to what? I feel like it's going to hurt.
I mean, they even specify hard, not hard. I could see it happening.
Oh, well, look, it's fitting with the introduction of this episode, which was about...
It kind of all goes together.
Exactly.
That was the amuse-bouche for the earlier entree.
Would you like a nice roll dick, sir?
Wow. Hard?
Okay. Interesting. All right.
This really is a white glove as well. This really is
okay,
a
five-star restaurant. We're going to get Salt Bay to deliver some salt on this.
Okay. I'll just cry while you do that.
Okay. All right. So anything else? MLS stuff before we go into some NWSL things? Oh, this I want to talk about this real quick. You had retweeted this with Mexico. So Mexico are facing a two-match fan ban at their games because of a grito. The homophobic chant that is being yelled at games, recently in the friendlies that Mexico have had, we have not heard it. So so I'll say that with a grain of salt, because it has. I just saw a tweet recently that said Mike's picked it up a little bit somewhere, but in general, the Mexican players, Memo Ochoa, beginning of the game, he's just like, hey, everybody. Enough, cut it out. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically, you know, he said.
Word for word. That's what I heard.
He's like, ya coño, right? He said he's mad Dominican.
Diablo. Cada vez. Está cansado, está bien.
But this is what has to be, you know, this is the level they have to go to. They have to tell everybody, don't yell it, because we are going to be facing penalties. And so from all accounts, it has generally not been, hasn't been said in the last few matches.
Right.
But this is the report that we've been seeing, that apparently CONCACAF or FIFA, I believe FIFA, didn't specify who was supposed to be, who's going to suffer the penalty of the ban of having fans at the stadium. Essentially saying that.
So basically FIFA said it's a two-match ban.
For the Mexican Federation.
For the Mexican Federation. And Mexican Federation was like, all right. I see you three of a kind. And I will go all in, because I will ban someone in the Mexican Federation two matches. And it just so happens to be the ladies team.
So this is what is being said. And I want to just clarify, because it hasn't been, the Mexican Federation has not said that they will apply the ban to the Mexican women's team, but they haven't said that they won't apply the ban to the women's team.
So do you take them at their word or do you take them at their word?
So that is the confusing thing, where people are like, all right, I get what you can do and what everyone will be furious that you might do, but you're not saying that you're not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so it's like if your man says he's going to a bachelor party in Vegas, and you'd be like, all right, but, you know, don't touch any strippers. And he goes, we're going to eat at buffets. And you go, okay. But also, don't touch any strippers. He's like, come on.
I'm just here to eat. What are you talking about?
Bro, what are you talking about? I'm just going to play blackjack. And you're like, yeah, but you're not saying you won't, you know?
Yeah. And shouts to the homie Carlos Justiz, who works with Telemundo out in the Bay Area. And he kind of just reaffirmed this stuff and was giving us a couple people to, you know, to get sort of confirmation on this stuff. And this is the issue. This is like the Mexican Federation is just not being clear on who's going to face this punishment. And
we haven't been obvious or clear about it ourselves, the women's team should not be facing a ban
exactly.
for something that happened during a men's match.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And to my knowledge, this doesn't happen at the women's matches.
No.
I could be wrong, and maybe it has a couple times or something. But
correct
this is,
us if we're wrong, but I'm on the same page as you in saying I do not think this happens.
This is a generally, this is a man thing. This is not a woman thing that even, you know, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's not a bunch of women in the stands yelling this. That's why right. I feel fairly confident saying that. So that's been an interesting thing. Okay, the other... some NWSL stuff we have to talk about. Olivia Moultrie, Portland Thorns.
She did it.
15 years old. She won a court case, and Portland has signed her.
Long court case.
Yeah, it was they were dealing with it
against her employer, against NWSL.
You know, NWSL and their, you know, we haven't talked about this much in the past, but their stance on it was that. The age, NWSL has an age minimum, which I believe is 18. And they basically said, like, this should be a collective bargaining issue. And they should, this is how, so the player, the players union and the league should come to a determination as opposed to fighting this in court. They lost the case. I don't think they were trying to say, like, they don't want her to play per se, but they, I think the way the CBA is written, they had to fight this to some degree.
Right.
That's my perception of it, and I'm not. I'm not speaking on NWSL's behalf. Obviously.
I never got the idea that they were like vehemently against it. I think it was they contractually were obligated to not let you do this.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they had to fight it. But she is signed. She got her first minutes in the game against Louisville. That the Thorns won 2-0. And based on seeing all her interviews and stuff, and you know, we've been hearing about her for the last like 4 years, how that she's a phenom and she's going to be a star and all this other stuff. And yeah, it's difficult to kind of accept that as a, you know, when you're talking about an 11-year-old girl, you know, and where you're like, you know, I think because of I think we're so used to the fact that we're not used to seeing players this young play professionally, especially young girls, that I think that's what for a lot of people made it like, you know, I guess skeptical is probably the best way to put it. But she was signed to Nike. Clearly,
there are shades of Freddie Adu in this.
I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, like,
there's that people were talking about her at a young age as if she is this sort
of
not a savior, but there is that sort of like this hero complex they've put on a child.
Yeah.
Which makes me think like there might be. I actually think to some degree the lawsuit will work in her benefit because she got a little bit older. You know, it sort of may have reset her the expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something of a, you know, she can appreciate this and not sort of be thrust into that situation that like Freddie was. You know, although we are smarter now as a footballing nation, if you will, a soccer nation, as to how to handle these kids that are really good.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is like the sort of double standard put. I think people are not used to a young girl achieving this level of being able to being this young and also being able to play with professional adult women.
Right.
So I think that's where because there is a I don't think people are like she's a little kid. She shouldn't play. That's not what people were saying. But people talk about young girls in a way that's like trying to be more protective of a young boy. So in the way they're talking about her, they're talking about her like, oh, but maybe she's not ready. Like they're sort of coddling her. And I think in NWSL in this league in the United States, I think we're not. This is where I find the hypocrisy in that if she was an amateur athlete, they would be like, all right, put her in like if Olympian gymnast. I mean, how young are these girls? And they have to do seriously intense training and competition. But as soon as money is involved and they're getting paid, then it's like, okay, well, let's just make sure that she can handle all like there. Right. That's the part of it that is like a little
it shifts the narrative all of a sudden.
Money changes everybody's like, the way it's kind of discussed and talked about. But it's great to see. And I'm excited to see, you know, I've been watching the Thorns have put out interviews and she's like a confident young lady, like, you know, the funny part to me was she was like, oh, I feel like I'm really, really ready now. You know, I grew 3 inches in the last year. It's just like such a like slightly adorable, but also like,
yeah,
she's also like mad tall. It's not like
she's also like kind of menacing in a nice, sweet way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to see. I think the, you know, could she be the, you know, we all see or listen to Grant Wall's Freddie Adu thing. We don't want that like exploitation and abuse of a player's talent. But I think it'd be cool for the NWSL to have like a level-headed, super talented, like young superstar. I mean, there's a lot of potential to bring in young fans. And, you know, if the pipeline of like maybe, you know, U.S. women's national team, like, which is if she's at this level now, that's exactly what's going to happen next. So I think it's going to be a fascinating story. So she's with a great organization and a good team. So, you know, I think there's a very, very bright future for her.
I'm looking forward to see how what takes place marketing wise? How is she marketed? How she handles her ability to market herself? I'm interested to see what happens from here on.
Yeah.
Because I do think she should have been given the chance to play, and I'm glad she is. And now I'm like, all right, well, now let's see what happens. You know?
All right. So the I just want to talk real quick about the NWSL standings. We finally had a change at the top. North Carolina Courage are in first. Orlando Pride are in second. And this has been a this is going to be a tough couple weeks for especially during the Olympics. A couple of NWSL teams. I think this is where we'll determine how this kind of season ends for a lot of them. If they can sort of get through these like 6-7 weeks without some of their top players. I mean, Orlando Pride missing Alex Morgan is going to be huge. Missing Marta is going to be huge. Thorne's missing a couple of players. Like, the Orlando Pride are really, like, I think the biggest story so far in NWSL, because they have historically been just a team that struggles, and to be in first place as long as they have. Ashton Harris has revitalized, I think, her career. I mean, she has been incredible.
She's stopping every penalty. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing. She has already 3 penalty stops this season. And the wild thing is it's great. It's very impressive, but also, why she has to face so many damn penalties? Yeah.
Right. That's like, remember what's his face? Tim Howard, like, he's incredible. He made 16 saves against Belgium. They're like, yo, why you gotta make 16 saves though?
I feel like there's a couple things happening before those saves that we could probably improve on.
Cause and effect is a conversation we need to have here.
It's funny because, like, literally Ashlyn's wife is right there in center back position. You know who she's yelling at from time to time. Right. So, but no, a great season. I think at the, you know, Sidney LaRue coming back and playing as well as she has, like, Orlando have looked incredible this season, and to be in, you know, in first for as long as they have, and actively compete with some, you know, the historically better NWSL teams has been impressive. Gotham also, shout out to Caitlin Sheridan, got called up to the Canadian national team, so she's going to the Olympics. So that's the homie.
The video of her getting that call with everyone on the bus screaming and going nuts as soon as she hangs up.
Yeah.
Is it's absolutely incredible.
All the feels.
Yeah.
As they say.
It's nice to see.
Yeah. So Gotham has also been great, but they're going to be missing out on, you know, on Carly Lloyd. It's like good and bad. NWSL, but like the fact that I don't think there's much of a, there's no break during the Olympics, which sucks, which is because you really have to survive, like, missing some of the best players in the league. And there's also, I believe the, I don't know if this was confirmed, but I had seen something about that the Olympic rosters, the alternates, who were, you know, obviously they stay home, but if anything happens, they'll get called in. I believe they're allowing the alternates to also go to Japan.
Because it probably would be difficult to get them in there afterwards.
Right. So, so that means Jane Campbell for the Dash, Lynn Williams for the Courage. There's 2 more. I hate that I forgot, but, you know, just in general, these are big names that you're also, you thought you might have regardless of the Olympics starting. And it looks like they won't be with the team as well. So
I'll tell you what's really important is I bought a ticket to Tokyo for $200 for February of next year. So
you're going to Japan. This is the first time hearing this. You're going to Japan next year?
I'm going to Japan. By the way, I haven't bought a flight back. I just bought 2 one-way tickets to Japan because they were so cheap. They were $200.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out when would be the right time to come back. So I was like, well, I'm out there. I might as well go see, like, either Hong Kong or, like, maybe Australia, right? Because I'm not going to fly all the way back there again.
Those are not short flights either. I don't know what you're thinking.
No, I'm just like, I'm already out here. You know what I mean? I'm not. First of all, it's like 22 hours to go from, like, New York to Australia. I'm not doing that again. If I'm out there, I'm going to be out there.
Okay.
And wifey's like, well, I can't take that much time off. I was like, well, then deuces, you know? So you tell me how your flight back was, and I'll tell you how my flight back is, you know, in a week or two later, you know what I mean? But like,
wow, okay.
But I can't do the first leg of this trip if these, you know, Olympics ruin everything. So, you know, maybe some of these reserves, you know, can let me know how things are going out there. You
all
know?
Right, okay. All right. Well, if you need any suggestions on things to do, you got also make sure to pick up some Calpis.
Yeah, I'm gonna be drowning in cow piss, bruh.
Pick up
mango flavored cow piss.
Obviously, our favorite drink. So, best of luck.
Official drink of the coach.
Also, in NWSL news, the coach of OL Reign has been let go.
That's right. The fat shaming coach
who was critical of Lindsay Horan when she was at Olympic Lyon. Farid Benstiti. Didn't go well in his time there. And he was they brought him in from France thinking he was going to come in and take over, because obviously Olympic Lyon are absolutely dominant in Ligue 1 and obviously in the women's league in France. What's the women's league in France called? Why don't I know what it's called?
I believe it is called Le Woman League.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It sounds right to me.
I think it's just called Ligue 1 Femme. Am I wrong in saying that?
I don't know.
Or Feel?
Feel means girl.
Okay.
So feminine.
Well, it is the French.
Feminine, I believe, is since we're not on Twitch, we can't, somebody
Division en féminine.
Yes. Okay. Little Google helped us out. Thank you.
Okay. So it's D, I don't know what, de un arkema. Arkema.
Is that the?
That's the brand. That's the brand that is
okay
sponsoring it.
But the Reign are currently in ninth place with 7 points. They and I know they brought in a couple players from France to help Rapinoe out over there. But yeah, they have not looked great. And I think now they're missing Rapinoe and I don't know if anyone else is going to the Olympics, probably from maybe some other countries, but they got to turn things around there too. They are not playing too well. Kansas City is in last place and they have, I believe, no wins. They have not won a game. So that move from Utah to Kansas City has been rough. They're also playing in a baseball field.
Right. It's not perfect.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Okay. We're not here to judge. I'm just saying.
But are they going
to
get their own community board meeting, huh? But it just seemed like there's like fan support for it. It feels like Kansas City is the right move just at the moment.
But I think it would have been just perfect if they played at Children's Mercy Park and like the fan support would have been a lot easier. But
yes, absolutely.
Maybe they'll get their own stadium.
What was the reason for that again? Why were they so stodgy about not having them there?
They were simply like, "Nah, we don't want you here." I think that's all it was. Okay, I see what you bring in, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do all that.
I'm not really in. I'm not really the commitment type.
This is gonna feel like a bit of a lost year. Like this is not even the brand. They don't have no name. It feels a bit like they're just trying to get through this year.
Buy these kits now, though. These are gonna be collector's items.
I agree.
Which, by the way, if we're gonna talk NWSL, we should mention friend of the show, Elise LaHue.
Yes,
we. A lot like Meg Linehan, have no clue what's going on.
Yes,
we know that she for I. believe personal or private reasons, mm-hmm. as best we know right now, is currently not with the team.
Okay.
That's all we really know. But whatever it is, you know, friend of the show, we wish you the absolute best. And hopefully it all gets, you know, whatever it is, gets straightened out or fixed or hashed out. But yeah, we just, whatever the situation is, I'm not even sure if it's the right thing to say, but you're in our thoughts.
Yeah. We're all, nobody knows what's going on. So absolutely.
And that's fine. And that is perfectly fine, by the way. Not everything needs to be public. So you know,
we're not trying to get the scoop.
Not at all. Even the people in the business that are friends with her don't know what's going on. And that is perfectly fine.
Totally.
You know, I think in the world we live in, we need to know everything because they're in the public eye. Whatever it is, you'll be all right. You know what I mean? You move on with your day and hopefully the person is in a good place. That's all you want to know.
Exactly. Okay. So the last place I want to end is just simply saying that thank you for tuning in. This Friday, make sure to join us on Twitch. Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Racing Louisville will be playing Orlando Pride. And I will be on Twitch. Alexis will not be, but I will be joined by a fellow comedian, Lindsay Bowling, who is awesome, who is from Louisville.
She is such a good soccer player.
She is an amazing soccer player. She plays on Cooligans FC. She's awesome. She's hilarious. And so she's going to be joining me on Twitch. And the cool thing is that you can watch the game on Twitch with us. So we're actually going to be showing the game. So you don't have to like have a second screen open or whatever. You can literally just watch us, watch the game. And we're going to be calling the game. You'll see us. The full game will be right on our Twitch channel, which is really cool of NWSL to allow us to do stuff like that. So shouts to NWSL for letting us do something like that. So Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Racing Louisville against Orlando Pride. I'm going to be joined by Lindsay Bowling. We're going to watch the game. We'll probably go on about 6:30 Eastern time. So join us. Watch the game with us. You know, we're going to be calling the game. See how it goes. Should be fun. And that's it.
It's such a cool opportunity to be able to show the game. So it's kind of dope that we're going to get that. And there's going to be others.
Yeah, we're going to do it a couple other times in the future. So if you don't follow us on Twitch or you don't have a Twitch account, make one. It's gratis. So no, there's no excuses. So twitch.tv/soccercooligans or elduiche.com.
It really does go to our Twitch channel. And all you have to do is hit that follow button. Again, free.
Free. Go for it. Okay. Anything else that we want to mention? We're going to be back on... when are we going to be back on TV? We'll probably do one more of these audio-only ones. And then we're going to be back on the 18th. July 18th is the back on the TV show. And we have a really, really big guest... multiple guests actually for that episode, so make sure to
big tune. One though,
you're gonna love it, I promise. So those are the kind of the next few things. Any shows, Alexis, you want to promote?
Yeah, I've got a couple. If you just go to my Instagram, go to @notalexis, I post them all. But I got a couple. I'm going to be at the Stand a couple nights this week. I'm going to be at New York Comedy Club a couple nights this week. Also, hey, watch me while you're already on Twitch. Watch me on Wednesday on twitch.tv/complex. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun with Flex. And it looks like, that's pretty much it. Yeah, just follow me on social media. I'm going to be at a couple different comedy clubs this week. But it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the 14th. I'm going to be at Poco in the East Village.
In Poco NYC. On Avenue B.
Yeah, come to that. It's going to be at 7:30. That should be really, really fun. So,
is that a Thomas Delgado show?
Yeah.
That's one of the better shows in the city right there.
Super, super fun.
So much fun.
If you're in New York, come check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, everybody. Now, another fun episode. I hope you enjoyed your July 4th, your holiday. I hope you got a much needed break from whatever. I mean, we all have.
Yeah, from not eating tons of sodium, I guess.
That's it, man. I mean, look,
were you allowed to eat a hot dog or a hamburger?
allowed. You have this very warped view of what my relationship is like. There's nobody.
I would say you have one. I see what's going
nobody
on.
Nobody tells me what I can or cannot eat. Mm. Do I have, you know, do I have to deal with maybe the guilt or somebody trying to shame me?
I believe the word you're looking for is repercussions.
Look, from time to time, but we cross that bridge when we come to it. But hamburgers and wings.
Get out of town. Hamburgers. Had a couple wings.
Yeah. Little covered in barbecue.
My guy.
Bruh, it was crazy. It was my cheat. Every Independence Day is my cheat day.
Let's go.
that was good. And you went to Verzi's.
I went to famous comedian Paul Verzi's house. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Did he have fireworks in his backyard?
Yo, he had Macy's level fireworks in his backyard. And he had it queued up with music. He had a whole program.
Whoa.
It was absolutely out of this world.
Wow.
Absolutely out of this world. They throw a great party. And the greatest sausage and peppers I've ever had in my entire life. That's how the night ends. So they do burgers and deviled eggs and all this crazy stuff. There's chips everywhere. It's like a whole thing. They do hot dogs, hamburgers, the whole nine, potato salad, baked beans that they make themselves. They have a mashed potato, like a mashed potato station. They have a nacho station. It's crazy, right? And then they do tons of desserts. Then they do the fireworks, which is, go to my Instagram and look at it. It's insane. I don't know how he hasn't been kicked out of this neighborhood. It's legitimately Macy's level, right? He lives like on acreage, so he's got a lot of space. And then after that, it's a big pot of the best sausage and peppers you've ever had. And so I didn't get to go last year because of COVID. They did an outdoor thing, but I was still kind of uncomfortable doing it. So this year I was like, I'm going to eat a ton. I'm not going to eat a lot because I'm going to save space for the sausage and peppers. It's that good. So I had like 3 sausage and pepper sandwiches at like midnight. Mm-hmm. And she gave me a bunch to take home as well, which was great. But I looked at her and I said, hey. And I said an ingredient and I said it away from everyone. And she goes, how'd you know? And I go, I finally figured out what it was. I was like, there's always something in there that makes it so special. And I said it and she goes, Paul's like, what do you think you could guess just because you ate it? Like you're that much of a maniac? And she looked at Paul and she goes, he got it right. And he was like, what? I don't even know what's in there. He's like, I've been eating this for my whole life. And I had no idea. Well, it was since they're married. And he's like, I had no idea what was in there. And I was like, aha. And she goes, all right, well, please don't tell anyone. I was like, I won't. I promise you I won't. I'm just happy that I finally figured out what it is.
Mm.
Do you want to know what it is?
I would love to know what it is.
I'm not going
to
tell you because I said I would not tell anybody. I'll tell you privately. I'm not going to say it on the show.
The only time I have sausage and peppers is when I was living in Bay Ridge, they would have like the street fairs. And the street fair, and they would have a truck.
That's a famous street fair food.
Yeah. And I would have it maybe once a year, maybe once every 3 years. Arepas. So
the Feast of San Gennaro is the sausage and pepper is like the dish of it.
Yeah. They also have the mozzarella truck. You ever had that?
That is like... Anywhere you go, you're going to find a mozzarella truck. That thing is wild.
Yeah, those are the two things. And when I'm at those street fairs, I'm like, all right, I got my meal for the fair. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, we appreciate it. Nice. We got to do a deep dive on some of the stuff we don't get the opportunity to. Again, we're back on the 18th on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports Network, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Really, really fun show. We can't even say who the guest is yet because we're, I don't know.
The guests are.
Yes, but.
Just trust, just believe us.
Believe us. It's going to be very, very,
very
cool.
Good.
So make sure to tune in that week. But we'll be back next week with another podcast and obviously Prem Show on Wednesday. But thank you again for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate it. All right. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!